We pray. Heavenly Father, light divine, may your light pierce through the darkness of this fallen world. May your light dwell in our hearts, in us, and through us, dear Lord, that we might give you praise and glory all the days of our life. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to them on whom his favor rests. Amen. What did you receive for Christmas? Is it something you'd like to talk about? Or is it something you like to kind of hide away? Well, if you opened your box and you got underwear and socks, I would think, okay, well. But, on the other hand, if under the tree was a big screen TV, or maybe for Christmas you got a trip to Disney World, or maybe this is the Christmas that you receive that diamond ring and you have a trip to the wedding hall. Ooh, now those are presents you might want to talk about and share and oogle in for weeks and weeks yet to come. What did you receive for Christmas? I like living in America. Oh, the opportunities we have, the freedoms we have, the wealth we have in America. Oh, there's so many other places in the world that can't even dream of having the luxury and the blessings we have. Think of it a second. Where else in the world can you actually sit down on a Sunday afternoon and sip some Italian wine and eat some Japanese sushi and have a call for Alex to play or Alexa to play your favorite song, all the while you're kind of planning to enter the presidential race or maybe looking over your portfolio for retirement, or maybe you're planning, maybe I'll go back to school and earn another degree, or maybe this year I'll start a brand new career. Is that not the life? So many wish they had that kind of freedom and abilities at their hands. The trouble, however, with every blessing can come trouble. The trouble in our land with so much freedom and opportunities and wealth, the danger is that our hearts grow very unthankful the more we have. We don't appreciate things until they're really gone. I wonder if our appreciation for what we have would increase if, let's say, a missile exploded 10,000 feet over America and fried all technology throughout the nation. Our computers, our phones, our cars, our televisions, all toast. How would we function? Maybe then we might be appreciative of all those things we've lost. Huh? Or maybe pretend that we step into January and what we end up having is a 3-year drought. Rivers dry up. Crops can't grow. A bottle of water would cost more than a bottle of Italian wine. I wonder if we'd grumble then or whether we'd appreciate what we do have. Or envision, if you will, a plague rolls across America from California to Maine. Only this is a strange plague. Every man, woman, and child within 6 months becomes totally blind. Can you envision ourselves groping down the main streets in Antioch, totally blind? Oh, maybe then we'd appreciate our sight. Oh, may God preserve us from all these plagues and horrors in the coming new year. But you know, there is a plague that has descended on America. The deadly plague of sin. Sin that makes greedy monsters of us all. unsatisfying appetites, and greed carries with it that foul stench of entitlement. Entitlement says, I don't have to be thankful because I'm entitled to my big house and my big car and a phone in every pocket and all the power and respect and certainly every pleasure known to mankind. That's just my birthright. Really? Greed has a continual hunger for more and more. It's never satisfied. And Satan uses our greed and inflames it into a fire so that we actually are tempted to sit in judgment of God. God, you know, you're really not all that hot. You're not giving me enough stuff. You're not making my life as easy as I want. I'm going to go in search of a different God. A God that's more easygoing. A God who doesn't demand anything and gives us everything, whether that be good or evil. If my heart wants it, my God should give it to me. A God who never says no. Does that sound preposterous? Well, Isaiah was sent to the Israelites because they had gone in search of a different God. The God of Israel wasn't special enough for them. And so they got into worshiping Baal, the fun fertility god of the pagans around them. Ooh, now they could have some fun. And so Isaiah was sent to them to talk about God's anger. In the 6 verses of our chapter right before our text, Isaiah asked God a strange question. God, he is covered with this red stuff. And Isaiah says, what is this? Have you been treading grapes in a wine press or something? And God replies, I trampled the nations in my anger. Their blood spattered my garments. Wow. What a flip right within a few verses. Here he talks about him coming and stomping out his enemies. And so in this season of gifts that may lead to a season of greed and entitlement, it's good for us to sober ourselves up in remembering that God is coming to stomp out all nations who are in search of their own pagan God, who want nothing to do with the one true God. There is no other God than the God of Israel. Well, what does God want us to be thankful for this Christmas? Well, what have you received this Christmas? Isaiah wrote, I will tell of kindnesses of the Lord. Isn't that interesting? He starts off the first few verses talking about how he's stomping out the enemy, and then he talks about the overflowing love God has for his people. Isaiah lists God's Christmas gifts to us. God said, surely they are my people, sons who will not be false to me, and so he became their savior. Who are we that God should call us his sons and daughters, his beloved children, children of the Most High? Haven't we been just as greedy and self-centered as any of our neighbors? Ooh, drooling with delight of the things of this world and giving our God a lukewarm heart, cold apathy to the Creator of all things. This is one of God's gifts that he showers upon us, is the not only the opportunity to repent before he destroys us, but a new heart that truly wants to repent, and a heart that truly believes this is exactly why Jesus came, to free us from our guilt, to save us from our sins, and a heart that yearns to be true, to be authentic, to be faithful to our God, just as he has been truthful, genuinely authentic and faithful to us. Now, there's a gift that kind of a relationship with the Almighty God. Isaiah goes on, he became our Savior. Can you imagine what life would be like if God never sent his one and only Son to the manger? He backed away and said, no, that's too big of a gift. I'm not giving it. Oh, that would be the day that we wish we had never been born, because then just evil and darkness descends upon, giving us a terrible life here and an eternity of hell. But God has placed the Savior in that manger of Bethlehem. He did give his best, his holiest, his Son. And Isaiah helps us see into the very depths of God's heart, his enormous love for us. He writes, in all their distress, he too was distressed. Really? God is distressed with whatever distresses us. Who are we that God should care about the things that make us sad? We're not that important. But to God we are, because he loves us. Are we likely to have any distress in 2020? Remember, there's a presidential election, which will probably turn out to be a slugfest. Or maybe you'll have a friend who dies in 2020, or divorces in 2020, a dear friend who becomes seriously ill, or loses their job, or moves far, far away, or you may never, ever see them again. What crushing blow might come in this new year that would bring us to our knees in pain and anguish? In all their distress, he too was distressed. What a picture. Jesus cries over the things that make us cry, just like at Lazarus' tomb. He cries over the guilt that burdens our heart. He cries over the torture of living in a fallen world where everything is tainted and polluted with sin and brings so much pain. Jesus is distressed over it, not just because he is empathetic and feels for our pain. He's distressed because he took our distress and made it his own, carrying our sins to the cross and feeling that distress of the payment for those sins. He's distressed in a way that we never will feel. And from all our distresses, he has become our Savior. Our Savior from all that burdens our heart. Isaiah wrote, in his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. In our gospel lesson, Matthew tells us how Joseph was to pick up this baby, take Mary, and flee to Egypt, because Herod's out to kill the baby. In the dead of night, he picked that baby out of its basket, and away they went. Isn't that interesting that Isaiah uses much the same picture? Yeah, for all believers of all time, God has carried us in his arms. Whether we're talking about the Israelites coming out of Egypt and going through the wilderness to the promised land, and God was there at every moment, every turn to protect them and bless them, or if we talk about our day and age, God is still carrying us in his all-powerful arms next to his all-loving heart, whether we detect it or not. You know, sometimes that's why God will send crises into our lives. Times when we are so broken, we never believe we'll be whole again. And one of the things we realize there is, God is carrying me through each and every day. And sooner or later, we connect the dots. Well, of course he is, because he always has. Even on those days when we felt so powerful and successful and wise and wonderful, we realize even then, God has been carrying us in his arms, working his good will. If he were to ever set us down and back away, oh, then life would truly become totally miserable, unthinkable. Is 2020 going to become anything like 2019? Well, then we'll have plenty of stress, anxiety, evil, and fear. And in the chaos of this world, what blessing does God give us? The ability to be still and know that the Lord is God. He will be exalted among the nations, even in what he's accomplishing. To realize that our God is an ever-present help in trouble. So what have you received this Christmas? Isn't it kind of mind-boggling to think that on that very first Christmas, Jesus was stockpiling presents for us, all for that day when we would be born again of water and the Spirit? It's at our holy baptism that God has received us to be his own, and we have received him. Received his salvation and all the gifts and blessings that go with Jesus. All those heavenly treasures to become our own. We are the richest people on the face of the earth. As John said, to those who received him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, children born of God. And so, whatever this year holds, we know of the Christmas gift we've received that keeps on giving and giving, keeps on giving his love and his forgiveness and his strength and his wisdom and the power to live the life that pleases him instead of pleasing our sinful nature. God's Christmas gifts never wear out. Socks, they wear out. But salvation, to be the children of God, that lasts for all eternity and brings hope and joy, love and peace. And so we are much like Isaiah. We tell of the kindnesses of our God and all that he has done for his people. Tell those around so that more and more might have the Christmas gift we've received at the manger of Bethlehem. And then we can join the angel's choir in singing glory to God. Glory in the highest. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, we are your gifted, precious children, and so our hearts leap for joy. No matter what happens in this world, you have come. You have stepped into our world, into our hearts, into our lives to be our Lord and Savior. And so bless us, warm us with your presence, and keep our eyes fixed ever heavenward on you. To you be our glory, now and forever. Amen.